Big banks in big trouble.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the internet. Reputation.com.
From APM, American Public Media in New York. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The big European banks are losing stock value again this morning as the sovereign debt crisis continues to take a toll. And in response to the drop in confidence, the big banks there will be cutting costs and laying off workers. If that sounds familiar, it's because it's happening right here in the U.S. as well. Yesterday, Bank of America confirmed that it will cut 30,000 jobs in an effort to shore up its finances. For more on B of A's troubles, let's bring in Paul Barrett, who interviewed the company's CEO for this week's cover story in Bloomberg Businessweek magazine. Paul Barrett, good morning.
Good morning.
Are these problems that we're seeing at Bank of America right now similar to the kinds of problems that led to the big banking crisis a few years ago?
Well, they're related to it in that Bank of America became a behemoth that was just too big to manage efficiently. It is not similar to the institutions like Lehman or Bear in that it is not on the verge of failing. It has plenty of capital. It has liquidity.
Why is it so much worse, though, right now at Bank of America than at the other big banks in the country like J.P. Morgan Chase or Morgan Stanley?
Bank of America has two distinctive problems. One is Countrywide Financial, the subprime mortgage factory that it bought in 2008. There's tremendous legal uncertainty surrounding the many, many lawsuits that have been filed against Countrywide and against Bank of America, and the market simply doesn't understand what the potential liability is. Uncertainty is something the market hates. Second thing is Bank of America is bigger and more intertwined with the American economy than any of its rivals. So it is basically a mirror of the American economy, and as long as unemployment is stuck above 9% and the housing market is depressed, Bank of America will struggle.
Well, you spoke with the CEO, Brian Moynihan. What is he feeling about all of this?
Well, Moynihan believes that he came in with a clear plan to take the bank that he inherited and shrink it down, make it much more focused on its consumers, on companies, and on institutional investors. So he expresses a lot of confidence. The problem is that he's untested as a CEO. He was kind of a battlefield promotion in crisis in late 2009, and Wall Street has expressed in the way that it does uncertainty about whether he has the talent to lead the bank out of trouble.
Well, do you think, after having met with him, that he's got what it takes to get this bank back on its footing?
Moynihan is probably underestimated in terms of his skill and understanding. I think he's a very solid operations person. The reason he may be underestimated is he's simply not that good at communicating. He has a distinct lack of public charisma. And while people tend to discount that kind of thing, in his case, it actually has been very important. He has been unable to persuade Wall Street that the bank is on the right track. So it's a situation where leadership and style actually are playing an important role.
That's Paul Barrett, who interviewed Brian Moynihan, and he's got the cover story in this week's Bloomberg Business Week. Thanks so much for joining us.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed around the world this morning, up about 1% in Tokyo, down about 0.4% right now in London. But here's something that is up. Airline ticket prices here in the U.S. The big carriers boosted fares last week for the 10th time this year. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow reversed a three-day slide. It finished up 68 points at 11,061.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the knowledge effect. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at JaguarUSA.com.
Today, the full bargaining committees will return to the table as negotiations continue to end the lockout in professional basketball. NBA players and owners have been fighting over how much money each side should get in a new labor deal. If they can't agree, then no NBA games. Let's get an update now from Henry Abbott of ESPN.com, who writes the True Hoop blog. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, as a casual observer of the NBA lockout, I have to say I sort of think they'll come together with some agreement by the time the season is supposed to start. Is that a wrong assumption?
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. there was sort of a clash of the Titans shaping up in the rhetoric where the league was talking about a total reboot of how they share revenue with the players. Now that it's getting down to the final few weeks before when they'd have to make a deal for the season to start, the rhetoric has gone away entirely, and the behind-the-scenes noises are that things are going very well now.
What happens if you and I are both wrong and there is a lockout and some games are missed?
Oh, I mean, it could definitely happen. And no, it's not good. The NBA has an opportunity right now to sort of move past baseball as America's second sport, and it's incredibly popular with young people playing in playgrounds all over the world, and there's a chance to become, you know, the most popular American sport in China, and to just move very solidly forward back to where the league was in the Jordan years. You know, a lockout, a missed season would be a step back in that process.
And what are the long-term effects of a lockout?
Well, the NBA has a particular moment right now where they have what they've always wanted, which is some very attractive young stars like Derrick Rose and Kevin Durant. And it seems like, based on TV ratings, America's coming around to really getting to like those players. When you lock them out, you demonize them a bit. The whole idea is to sort of show through the media that these players are spoiled and shouldn't be, you know, respected as much. And as soon as they get back in business, they want those players to be loved again. So it's a little bit of a marketing problem to have them locked out.
Henry Abbott is a senior writer with ESPN.com. He writes the True Hoop blog. Henry, thanks so much for talking with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
And finally, to South Pasadena, California. Last week, a major traffic light there went out, and a resident named Alan Ehrlich answered the call. He just happened to have a bright orange T-shirt and a couple of orange safety flags with him, because who doesn't keep those things handy all the time? And he got out into the intersection and started directing traffic. Well, apparently he was able to clear up a one-mile backup in about 10 minutes, and then the police arrived and gave him a ticket. So much for gratitude. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
If you could save a little cash by driving a little differently, would you?
Obviously, it's a little bit annoying at times, I know. But you get used to it. When you have to fill up, you know, one less time a month, you know, you start to think, well, this might be worth it.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. It's called hypermiling, but don't forget that annoying part. It's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.